Today is the day that the Lord had made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. Let's stand and worship together.
Good morning. It is so wonderful to see all of you out there this morning. How many of you have been gone off and on the last few weeks or so? Because I haven't been here either. And so I know myself personally, it is so good to actually finally be back. Kind of have a routine that I've been out of. So being back, this is normal to me, being in church and getting to see all of you. So hopefully you all are happy to be here this morning. I know I am. I'm happy to see you all. We do have a lot of people that are vacationing, that are out and about traveling. We do have some that are also sick and aren't able to be with us. So this morning, we've got people that are covering bases and filling in. We have Miss Amanda Brand over here on the keyboard this morning, filling in for Janet. I know that up here on the stage, we are very, very appreciative that she is helping out this morning. So hopefully you all will enjoy the worship as much as we will this morning. But other than that, we're going to go ahead and turn to our bulletin. We have got a lot, it seems like, going on this week. So if you'll bear with me, I am going to highlight on several different things on the bulletin. The first one being tonight. Tonight there is a special service at the One Life Church at 6 p.m. That is a vibrant church seminar, and it's being hosted by a gentleman by the name of Stan Toler. There will be a regular service here at the church. Pastor Don will be leading that here at 6 o'clock. But anyone that is wanting to go tonight, there will be a church van that leaves here at 5:30. So if you want to ride on the church van, be here before 5:30. That way they can leave right at 5:30 and go for that. If you are a church leader, we are encouraging you to go to this vibrant church seminar tonight. But for those of you that don't want to make the trip up there, there will be service here at the church this evening. Then also in the bulletin, there it says that there's supposed to be an SDMI meeting tonight. We are going to go ahead and cancel that due to that special service this evening. Then this week is teen camp. So be in prayer mainly for the counselors that will be involved with that teen camp. But if you have teens that are going to be going to that and you might need a little bit more information, you can see John Brownwood for that. If you are part of the church board, there is a meeting tomorrow evening at 6:30 here at the church. It's a little bit different time than when we normally have it, but 6:30 tomorrow evening. Then our men's softball, of course, play Tuesday night. We have two teams. Team 5 will play at 7:45, and Team 6 is at 6:45. Then the end of the week on Saturday, the ladies wanted me to make certain that I mentioned this, that the Giggles will be doing breakfast at the Ronald McDonald House. If you need more information on that, you can see Paula. And Paula also wanted me to tell you that there are still more hearts out on the bulletin board. So they are needing some different supplies. If you feel so led and would want to go back to the bulletin board and see what some of those different supplies are, they're listed on some hearts out there. Grab one of those hearts and see what you can bring in. And then next weekend, I don't know if you all know this, but it is one of the biggest national holidays, and that is Father's Day. But the ladies in the church are actually going to do something special for all of us fathers. They are going to prepare a pancake breakfast for all of us, and that will be from 8:30 to 9:15. There'll still be regular scheduled Sunday school at 9:30, but from 8:30 to 9:15, the ladies will be putting on a pancake breakfast for us fathers. So that's all the announcements I have. Amber's going to come and do an announcement on Vacation Bible School, and then Brother Pat has one as well. And Jennifer is waving at me like she wants to say hi this morning. Everyone? Yes. Yes, that pancake breakfast is not just for the men. That is all-inclusive. Everyone it's open for everyone.
Good morning. While you're looking over at the ladies' board and their hearts, slide on over to the children's side. And I have posted some things that we're needing for VBS, and they're on some long paper, and my contact information's on there if you have any questions. Most things we do need donated, and if you'll look, I've marked donated. And there's just a few things that if you're willing to let us borrow, I will make sure they are very well taken care of and that you get them back. And it's marked donated, and then you can put your information on there and you can give it back to me. And I put that out there because if you're like me, you sign up for something and you leave and go, oh, crud, what did I sign up for that I was supposed to bring? So these things you can take with you. They're just hung by paper clips. You can take one. You can take as many as you like. And I just appreciate all your help. It is at the end of July, and I've got the date and everything on there for you. So thank you very much.
Any of you are aware, we had a national holiday right here. Nobody? Pastor Don has a birthday. Maybe that's not a national holiday. I don't know. Maybe it should be.
Well, it could be.
And Jennifer has a birthday, and we'd like to honor those two this morning. We'd like to honor all the birthdays, but for those of our pastoral staff, we want to say a special happy birthday this morning. So, Jennifer, if you would come, and Pastor Don. We're not going to ask how many years for Jennifer. We may ask for Pastor Don. I don't know.
Well, I'm not a day over 78 yet.
Yet?
Yet.
Well, happy birthday, guys.
Pastor Thank Don. You very
we
much.
We appreciate you so much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Well, at this time, if you all would stand, we're going to go ahead and head into our greeting time. Find someone that you may not have had the chance to greet yet this morning and greet one another.
About World Mission Radio. And if anyone feels led to give money for this, you can put it on your check and put a memo on it. Our church all gives money to this all the time, but if you feel led to give a little bit more than what we normally give, you can do that through the month of June. So we're going to watch a video now.
That mean for us as the church? There are many barriers that prevent us from reaching people with the love of God. Help us reach beyond these barriers.
If I could have Kate come up here, please. She thinks she's in trouble, but she's not really. She has quizzed with us for 5 years. And she quizzed at her prior church a year before that. And when we ended quizzing this year, she has moved up to the teens now, and she won't be in children's quizzing anymore. And we want to give her this bracelet. It has things on here from each of the six Bible quizzings that we've had. And we will miss her and hope that she goes on with her quizzing.
I started to say, aren't we proud of our kids? But she's no longer a kid. She's a teen. So aren't we proud of our teens and thankful for them? And Bible quizzing is important in that she is learning more of the Word of God. And you can't go wrong having more of the Word of God in your heart and in your life. I'd like to have our ushers come at this time to receive our weekly tithes and offerings. Gerald, would you come and ask God's blessings on our offering?
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity we get to come together to worship for you. We also thank you for the opportunity to give back a small portion of that which you have blessed us with. And Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with us through the remainder of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Spirit, come make us humble.
prepare our hearts for prayer this morning, we want to be mindful of those who have need of our prayers. And there is a list within your bulletin of prayer concerns that will give you some ideas of some folks that are going through some challenging times, perhaps, or praying for those who may need Jesus Christ to come into their lives as Lord and Savior. There are many situations. We continue to pray for our special events that are coming up, VBS in July, Faith, Family, and Fun Day, our Carnival and Car Show in August, covering all of these events with prayer. Pray for our men's softball teams, not that so much as they play, they win. They like to do that. But we have several fellows who aren't connected to churches, and we want to be a witness to them. We want to help them to have a good time, but to build relationships, indeed, with folks that know Jesus Christ, that might encourage them to want to know Jesus Christ themselves. So we have many outreaches that are going on, and we want to remember those items along the way. We want to continue to remember David Wilson this morning, who is in cardiac care in Cox South. Had a very bad day on Friday, but a much better day yesterday, and is beginning to make improvement. And so we thank you for your prayers for him. Evelyn Reed is in Cox South. She has had a surgery on her hip and had, I believe, 3 pins placed in. And so we pray that you would continue to remember her. She possibly may be moving to a rehab center tomorrow. That is yet to be seen. And then remember Bruce Brandstein, who is in the hospital in St. Louis after having had surgery on some aneurysms. Would love to be released today. That's not a definite. If not today, then hopefully tomorrow. That's not really a definite either. But indeed, we pray that God will help him to be able to be released from the hospital and come home and finish his recovery. He continues to make improvement. But you pray for Bruce. He's really a very upbeat kind of guy, but this has kind of got him down. And so I want you to pray very specifically as we pray for Bruce today, not only for his release from the hospital, but I want you to pray that the joy of Jesus will invade his soul, and that he will be encouraged and uplifted, and that he'll see the sunshine above the clouds and out of the gray, and be able to move past that. And so continue to remember these folks. There are many other things. It's great to see several of our folks back with us this morning. Ted continues to improve after his knee surgery. Dee is moving without any external hardware this morning. We're glad to see that. Bonnie is back with a smile on her face and feeling much better after her surgery. It's always great when surgery actually fixes things. And so we're moving toward improvement. We're thankful for that. We have much to rejoice and much to celebrate this morning as God continues to work in the lives of our people. But there are many things that are on our hearts and minds as there are challenges to each of us and our extended families. But let's stand together this morning as we prepare our hearts for prayer. We're going to sing together. These altars are open to you if you have need of them. You feel free to find a private place of prayer this morning. And after we sing, then we'll lift our voices together. Grateful to be your children. We are glad that you are the great and good shepherd. We are the sheep of your flock. So, Father, today we come with thanksgiving and praise in our hearts for who you are and for all that you do. You are the great Jehovah God, creator and sustainer of all the universe. Lord, there is nothing too hard for you. There's nothing too difficult for you. And so, Lord, all of these challenges that we face, with confidence we can lay in your hand. But before we do that, Lord, we want to say thank you this morning. Thank you for the plan of salvation. We want to say thanks for your great love. It says that in the Bible that you have lavished that love on us. And Lord, we are glad to be the recipients of the love of God today. And we're glad to be here in your house and to worship you. Father, we have many people who are spread all over the place. Some on vacation, some who are in hospitals with sickness. We have a lot of people that are out and away from our midst this morning. But we thank you for everyone who can be here this day. We thank you for these who have gathered. And we pray today that you would fill their hearts with joy. We pray that you would fill them to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord Jesus, that if there's someone here today that does not know you as their personal Savior, we pray that before they leave this church today, that they would open their hearts to you, that they would open their minds to you, and Lord, allow you to come in and to dwell in their heart and to give them guidance as you would give to each of us for the future of our lives. Lord, we thank you for your presence and your power in our lives. We lay these requests before you as we've spoken them already, Lord. We pray that you would take them as some of them are in print and have not been spoken. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would work on those situations, that you indeed would take them and do what only you can do, that you would touch them by your almighty hand. Father, we have confidence that you indeed are working in every situation, that you have a plan. And we are grateful for that plan today. We're grateful for the Word of God. We're grateful for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the Son Jesus who died on the cross. And we thank you for a Father God who loved us so much that he gave that Son that we might have eternal life, that he provided a way for us to be restored in a right relationship. Father, we are here today and not to fulfill a religious obligation. We don't want to just be religious. We want to have a relationship personally with the great God of heaven through his Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit that you give so willing. Now, Lord, we move forward in this service and in our lives with confidence and with boldness because of who you are and what you have done in our lives and what you're going to do in the future. Lord, we just give you our lives, we give you our situations, and we ask you this day, Lord Jesus, to indeed give us victory and to be overcomers over all that Satan and hell would throw at us. Lord, help us to be victorious in our life and to be the person you desire for us to be. We'll give you the praise and the glory and the honor, for you are worthy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
There's a silent war that's raging deep within me. My lower nature fights to dominate. My spirit man is poised and locked in battle. With the carnal side of me, I've grown to hate. Trumpet of my prayers plays toward heaven, a voice of desperation in my cry. Lord, strengthen me that I might not yield myself to sin, but keep your righteous banner lifted high. Lord, I hunger for holiness, and I trust for the righteousness that's yours, that my mind would feelings and my spirit renewed, and this temple that you dwell in would be pure. Well, the tempter stalks about me as a lion, searching for the slightest sense of blood. For when the skin of my resistance is broken, he moves in swiftly to deepen the cut. Lord of creation, hear your servant. Of man, I'm counting myself crucified with Jesus, alive to Christ, dead indeed to sin.
Bibles this morning, turn with me to Psalms chapter 24. Psalms chapter 24. Now, we celebrated this morning a couple of different birthdays, but we didn't have a birthday card for perhaps one of the most significant. Do you know who else's birthday is today? Today is the birthday of the New Testament church. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Indeed, the 50 days after the death and resurrection of Jesus, we celebrate Easter Sunday. We know about that. We have it on our calendars. But oftentimes, Pentecost Sunday can sneak up on us. But we know what a great day it was in the Scripture. Indeed, if we look into the second chapter of the book of Acts, and we find those gathered in Jerusalem for
for the feast and all of the things that take place. And indeed, there were many nations and they were speaking many languages and had been that way ever since the Tower of Babel. And indeed, the scriptures tell us that that there were people praying in an upper room, and that God did as he promised, just as Jesus has said, and he sent his Holy Spirit and poured out his Spirit upon his church. And as the disciples preached that day, it said that they spoke in languages that they had not learned. It says that those people who were present heard in their own language. And indeed, the gospel, the great good news of the love of God and what Jesus had done, went out and went from Jerusalem and spread into the entire world. It was the birth of the New Testament church. We are here today, worshiping as we choose, as a result of that momentous occasion. And indeed, everything that we celebrate and all that we are about was birthed out of those proceedings and the church as it began to form and gather, as souls were saved and claimed in to be followers of Jesus Christ. There was a challenge put forth. We know that those disciples were already followers of Jesus. They had walked and talked with him for 3 years. And indeed, he told them, he said, I have to go away. Now, they were saddened by the death of Jesus, but even after the resurrection, he said, I can't stay. I've got to go. And the reason I have to go is because if I don't go, the Holy Spirit can't come. The Comforter can't come. But I want you to understand that this is a good thing and not a bad thing, because I'm going to go away, and as a result of my going away, my Father will not leave you without his presence, and so the Holy Spirit will come. The Comforter will come, and he will fill you with himself, and you will be filled with the power and the presence of God, and you will be enabled to do things that you maybe were not capable of doing before, and you'll be witnesses into all of the world, and that you'll boldly speak the good news. And indeed, we saw men who in scriptural history, their lives were absolutely changed because they opened their hearts to all that God had for them. And every one of us must come to a place in this life where we choose to follow Jesus. If we're going to make it to heaven, we must choose to follow Jesus. We must choose to accept him, to confess our sins, to invite him to forgive us and to come into our heart to dwell and to give us guidance and direction. And if we're truly going to be Spirit-filled like these believers were on the day of Pentecost, if we're going to be the New Testament church as God desires for it to be, then we need to be able to operate within the presence and the power of God. Now, I want you to listen to this Old Testament passage that poses a question, and we're going to try to answer very briefly this morning what it takes in order to live as God wants us to live, to be that church that he empowered there in Jerusalem in that passage in the book of Acts. And we read together from Psalms chapter 24, verses 3 through 6. It poses this question: who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? And then it answers the question: he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He will receive blessing from the Lord, vindication from God his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Those words sound familiar to you? You just sang them in a chorus that was written out of this passage of Scripture. Now, I want to just pause for just a second, and I know this has already been done, but I just want to say thanks to Amanda for helping out. Janet is in St. Louis ministering to Bruce and Debbie, who have been longtime friends of theirs, and she's being there, being Jesus to them, and we're appreciative of that, and so appreciative of Amanda, who kind of took on what Janet had laid out as a worship service. But the thing I really appreciate this morning was Amanda had prayed about this, and I came in here and I said, you know, I'm thinking of a chorus that I've heard, and I would like for us to see if we could fit it in somewhere. And I started giving her the words, and she said, oh, I've already done that. See, I like that. I like somebody who's listening to the Lord and who's praying about things. And so what a great time. We appreciate our praise team. They did a great job of just being there and handling the changes and things. Our audio and video people. Aren't you glad for these people who do all these behind-the-scenes kind of things to help us be ushered into the presence of God? And we appreciate them and this morning, and we're so thankful for that. But we sang those words that indeed we want to have clean hands and a pure heart, and we want to be the generation that seeks after the God of Jacob. One biblical scholar has said that these verses are a listing of the moral conditions which are necessary for all true approach to God in His sanctuary. How many of you want to be where God is when this is all said and done? I had the opportunity Tuesday night. I don't get to play ball anymore. My body won't let me, and neither will the other people on the team. So at any rate, I have been relegated to this year part-time chaplaincy duties, part-time by my choice because I can't get to every game now. And Ben and Steve and those guys are doing some of that themselves. But I had the opportunity to speak to both of our softball teams last Tuesday night. And here's what I want you to know. When we think about getting into the presence of God, I told those fellows on the softball team, because we like to win, we just haven't done it very often, and so we're trying to figure out how to quite get there. But we had a victory last week, I think, one of our teams did, and so that was a good thing. But at any rate, I challenged those guys. I said, you know, we can't, no matter how much we want to win, we can't guarantee the outcome of these games. We can't guarantee. We can try to score as many runs as possible, and we can play to the best of our ability. We can never guarantee that 10 of us is going to be better than 10 of them. Even on our, and even if we might be reputed to be better on a given night, we might not perform to our best ability, or we might have flaws or whatever. So as much as we want to win every ball game, we cannot guarantee the outcome on that scoreboard. We can give it our best effort. We can give it everything we got, but we can't guarantee what the final score is going to be. But here's the cool thing. Here's the cool thing. When we operate in the spiritual realm, when we commit our hearts and lives to God, do you know it doesn't matter who you are, every one of you, if you will give your heart to Jesus, can guarantee the outcome of this life. It's a guaranteed deal. Every person can be a winner. You know, the competitive sports, there's always two teams and one team wins and one team loses. But if everybody gives their heart to God, everybody wins. Everybody can be on the winning team. It's not like somebody has to lose for somebody else to win. We can all be winners with God. These things, though, are prerequisites. These are things that God has said to us. Here's what needs to happen. Here's the qualifications for you to guarantee the end result. In order for you to be in my presence, who's going to ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who's going to stand in his holy place? The reference here is to the ritual of cleansing the priest had to go through before he could enter the Holy of Holies and stand before the ark. You remember biblical history, how only the priest could go into the Holy of Holies, and they would tie a rope around his ankle because the average human could not go in the Holy of Holies no matter what. And if the priest wasn't properly prepared and he was struck dead while he was in the Holy of Holies, nobody could go in and get him. So they had to pull him out by the rope. That's true, because they weren't allowed in the Holy of Holies. But here's the great good news for today. Ever since Pentecost and the birthday of the church and Jesus came and gave his heart, the veil in the temple was rent, and every one of us has direct access to the throne room of God because of what Jesus has done. We don't have to have somebody else pray for us. We don't have to have somebody else do our responsibilities. But we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Present day parallel would be the preparation of the heart that must take place to be in God's presence and the position a person must be in to make it to heaven. So what's it take? What's it going to take to make it into God's heaven? What's it going to take to be in right relationship? How are we going to walk in all the light that we have? Well, it says first we must have clean hands. Hands in the scripture represent what a person does. These are my actions. Hands represent my actions. And the Bible tells us in James chapter 4 and verse 8, we read this passage of Scripture. in the first portion. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Wash your hands, you sinners. The inference here is to confession and receiving the forgiveness of God. Now, how many of you here have ever tried to do any of your own mechanicking? How many of you have been able to work on your vehicle and never get any residue of any kind on your hands? Let me ask you, how many gardeners do we have here? How many of you have been able to dig into the earth and go right to the supper table? Well, some of you do, but your mamas make you go back and wash your hands. When we do life, our hands get dirty. As we live out our lives, we are born into this life as sinners. And as a result of that, we commit sins. And that's why when we come face to face with Jesus Christ, we realize that we're unclean, we're filthy. But just like we can take that old lava soap, I don't hear many advertisements about lava soap. How many of you ever used lava soap? You know, if the soap won't get it off your hands, when that rough part tears all your skin off, it won't be there anymore. That's what lava soap's all about. Aren't you glad that God can take our old black hearts, put the red blood of Jesus Christ to them, and they'll turn out white as snow, none the worse for wear? It's a miracle, but he can do it. And wash us white as snow. And just like that, we're offering our hands. We're confessing our actions that were in rebellion to God, that were wrong. We receive his forgiveness and indeed become the people that he wants us to be. We're reminded in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8 that it reads like this. I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing. God can give us holy hands. When we confess our sins, when we invite him into our heart as Lord and Savior, he gives us clean, holy hands. And the good news is that while we're challenged in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1 to not sin, he says, my little children, I write these things unto you so that you will not sin. So that must be possible, or he wouldn't have said that. Otherwise, that'd make God a liar. How many of you think God's a liar? How many of you think God believes in men what he said in his Bible? Okay, he said, these little children, I write this to you so that you will not sin, so that must be possible. But, he said, if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father. So what he's saying is, this is not something you have to do, but understanding all the climate and circumstances and people, you may fail every once in a while. And if you do, you can still wash your hands. How many of you have to go back and wash your hands every once in a while? Or you go to the table. You do a little gardening, you do a little mechanic, you got to wash your hands once in a while. And indeed, as we go through this life, there are times, not that it has to be this way, but if we do life, sometimes our hands get dirty. The good news is that God is there to wash our hands. As we confess, he's faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse us, to wash our hands. We need clean hands to make it into God's heaven. If we don't know Jesus Christ, our personal Savior, we're not getting into God's heaven. God doesn't just automatically say, hey, I like all you guys, come on in. You have to do your part. You have to confess your sin and ask Jesus Christ in your heart and life. You're not getting to heaven any other way. And he said, not only do you need clean hands, but you need a pure heart. Clean hands represent what a person does. But a pure heart represents what a person is, who a person is, their inner desires and their motives. And indeed, there's a struggle that goes on sometimes after conversion. And if you go back to James chapter 4, and we read the second half of that verse, where he says, come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You know what a double-minded man is? That's a man who knows that he wants to go to heaven. So he's giving his heart to Jesus, but he still has an internal pull toward the world. And he lacks all the pleasures of the world and all those kinds of things. And he doesn't want to die and go to hell. He wants to go to heaven. So he's got a little acquaintance with God, but he's still not really surrendered. The truth of the matter is that when God forgives us of the acts of sin we have committed in most cases, not in every case, but in most cases at that point in time, we don't maybe realize what the motivation for our sin is. We know we've committed sins. We don't really know where that's coming from. And as a new Christian, as we begin to read the Word and as we begin to hear the Word, as we begin to attend church, fellowship with believers, be part of Bible studies and all those kinds of things, then as we go through that, somewhere in that we realize that God begins to talk to us in His Word about carnal nature. He begins to talk to us about the body of sin that's in us. He begins to talk about the root that's there. Some of you have heard me tell this story. I've been here going, I'm in my 29th year here at this church now, so some of you have heard me tell this story before. But when I was a little boy, I wanted to make some money. And so my dad told me, my brother, Eddie, that we could dig thistles off the farm. We had a 140-acre farm, and he said, you can dig thistles, I'll give you a penny a thistle. And we also had, does anybody here know what burdock is? We had burdock in our barnyard. Some people call them elephant ears. And they were just everywhere. And all those cattle being in there just enriched the soil, you know, and just made them grow. And so my dad said, I'll give you a penny of thistle and a penny of burdock. And so my brother and I had these things. How many of you young people, now don't answer this if you're over 20. How many of you, I want everybody under 20 to stand. Okay, everybody under 20, I want you to stand. Okay, I want to ask you a question. Do any of you know what a matic is? That's the back half of an automatic. You know, not really. Sit down. Okay. A matic is a tool that looks partly like a pickaxe and partly like a hoe. It's a narrower head, but it's got a pick on the backside of it, and it's got a little flat kind of hoe type head. That's a matic. Well, we used to take a matic. We had several of them. My dad would give my brother one. He'd give me one. He'd say, you take these matics. I want you to go out there and dig up thistles. I'll pay you a penny a thistle. Well, my brother and I, you know, the economy wasn't as bad back then as it is now, but we still wanted job security. And we found out, my dad taught us how to dig those things. You're supposed to swing that matic so that the head of that hoe goes in back behind the root, sinks down about 4 to 6 inches in the ground, then you push the handle and it'll pop them suckers out right by the root. But you know what happens if you do that? They don't come back. They die. Well, that's no job security. And besides that, it takes time and effort. And we found out that you could swing those mattocks and they would slice right at the surface, right at the top of the ground. You could whip those ears off of there. You could cut those thistle stems and they'd die and look brown on the ground. And then they'd pop back up a couple weeks later and you keep job security going. Well, my daddy didn't have the same philosophy about job security that my brother and I did. He didn't care for that idea. And so if they came back, we didn't get paid. So we had to kind of realign our thinking there. But you know, the truth of the matter is, when we're born as the seed of Adam, there is a root of sin in us. It's not as God created Adam and Eve in the creation. It came with the fall of man when they disobeyed God in the garden. That root of sin is there. And so that's why you sin. It doesn't make any difference whether you would try not to or not. When you're born, you're going to start sinning because the root of sin is in your life. It's a power of sin, and that power in your life begins to cause you to rebel against God and rebel against His authority and to do the things that you shouldn't do. And that's why when you get saved, you've confessed all these things that you did, and you said, God, forgive me of my sins, and He does. But what you don't realize is when you deal with the acts of sin themselves, you haven't really dealt with the power of sin in your life. And that's why the message of holiness is a message of two works of grace. Because we need to be forgiven, but we also need to be cleansed. And it's possible, because that's why Hebrews 13:12 said Jesus died outside the city gate to make the people holy. If you look up holy in the Webster Dictionary, it'll tell you it means to be without sin. He wants us to have a pure heart. He wants us to get away from that carnal spirit. Matter of fact, in Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 14, it says this, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Because without holiness, no one will see the Lord. I don't write the book, I just read it and repeat it. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And so, God wants us not only to wash our hands. Here, what you're going to find is if you can get your heart cleansed, you won't have to get your hands washed so often. Heart cleansing doesn't make it impossible to sin, but it makes it possible not to sin. because it makes it possible to be in line with the Holy Spirit, to be pure and holy, to have from inside now this carnal root, this rebellion that I was born with is displaced to the outside. Temptation is still out here. The devil's still present. The devil can still try to get me to trip up. But because I have the Holy Spirit of God filling my life, my desire and my motivation and my intent is different. I love different things than I used to love. I operate in a different way. I've surrendered my choice. I quit trying to do things myself, and I let God do things within me, and I start following the direction of the Holy Spirit and listening to Him. I surrender, and I believe that God is capable of cleansing me and making me holy, not only from the things I've done, but indeed from that power that was within me. Clean hands are what a person does. The heart is who a person is. But here's the deal now. I need to go from clean hands and a pure heart to living a straight life. To lift up the soul means to desire or to set the heart on. Listen to what the Bible says in the book of Colossians. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it reads like this. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. We have to get to where we're in love with Jesus and we want the things of God and the things of the spiritual realm instead of trying to think about all this stuff on earth that we can acquire. All this has to become secondary. It's not that God won't bless you with things. He does. Matter of fact, most of us have got more things than we need. That's why garage sales are so famous. One man's trash, another man's treasure. We count on it. We make money that way. We need to set our hearts and our minds on things above, not on things of this life. The reference here is to the way a person lives. What are you pursuing in life? We need to make choices based on God's word and will. What happens is when we confess our sins and then when we realize that indeed that there's a power of sin in us, when we yield our lives as a living sacrifice like is described in Romans chapter 12 verses 1 and 2, when we yield that and we let Jesus become not just Savior but Lord and Master, we make that choice. That's a choice. I mean, that's not going to happen automatically. That's not going to happen any more than you're going to accept Jesus and not know it. If you accepted Jesus as Savior, believe me, it's going to be a choice for you to make Him Lord. He won't take over automatically. You got to surrender. That's why we call it two works of grace. I make a choice. And then I got to start making other choices. I got to make choices that are correct. You know what I found out as I got older? It was harder to stay skinny. I don't know if it's because I didn't move as fast or as much or what it was. I know that scientifically they say the metabolism changes in your body and slows down and doesn't process calories and things in the same way. And so I found out that I could eat the same, you know, I found I could eat the same amount of food at 40 as I could at 20. I could. But it hung around longer. It stayed with me and was more evident. And not two or three years ago, with the help of a good Christian doctor, somebody finally looked me in the face and said, look, buddy, you're just going to have to change the way you do some things. I don't necessarily like those choices. My mama, I was at a family reunion yesterday. I said, Mama, what'd you bring? She said, I brought chocolate pie. Had to make a choice. I decided I didn't want to offend my mother. But I had to make another choice. I couldn't take as much a portion as I used to like to take. You see, God doesn't force Himself on us. God gives us the ability with His help to be victorious, but He won't force spirituality on us. He's not going to force us to be filled with His Spirit. He's not going to force us to be saved. He's not going to force us to live the Christian life. We can invite Him into our heart, and we can intentionally choose to carry on a relationship with Him, and He will help us with everything possible. Or we can hold Him at arm's length, and He won't force Himself on us. We got to make some choices. We got to make some lifestyle changes. We got to get it right. And Paul had the right attitude when he wrote this in Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 7. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. We've got to consider everything else a loss ahead of knowing Christ. Know Christ first and foremost, and let everything else fall where it will. Love Jesus more than anything else, and everything else will be okay. I promise. It's a good way to go. Matter of fact, we can go back into the Old Testament, and God's never changed. He's been trying to tell these people this stuff for a long time. We can go back into the Old Testament and look at the 15th chapter of the book of Psalms, and He has this same question posed, and he gives the answer. Lord, who may dwell in Your sanctuary, who may live on Your holy hill? Listen to what it says. He whose walk is blameless. He whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart and has no slander on his tongue, who does his neighbor no wrong, casts no slur on his fellow man, who despises a vile man but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps his oath even when it hurts, who lends his money without usury and does not accept a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken. He whose walk is blameless. That doesn't mean he who performs to absolute perfection. What that means is he who makes every right choice according to the ability and knowledge he has. That's who is blameless. See, blameless means God doesn't blame you. How many of you have ever said these words? It's not my fault. Sometimes it's true, and sometimes it's a cop-out. But God indeed says, with His help, by the power of having clean hands and a pure heart, we can be blameless. When it comes to judgment, He will see us through the blood of His Son Jesus, and we will be held without account because Jesus has paid the price through His death on the cross. But we can make right choices. From the time that we commit our life to Christ, we can mature and grow and begin to make more and more right decisions. Decisions become less difficult. We become more automatic about things as we give ourselves in a more yielded way to Jesus Christ. It's part of maturity. We grow up. Who can ascend? Who's going to make it into God's heaven? He who has clean hands, a pure heart, lives a straight life. This is the promise that we have in the book of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 29, we know that for verse 11, but I want you to go on down to verse 13. It says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." God doesn't want a half-hearted surrender. He doesn't want a half-hearted effort. He wants you to cast yourself in utter abandon on Him. If we want to be in God's presence, if we want to enter God's heaven, these things are not optional. Who will ascend? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Clean hands, what I do, and a pure heart, who I am. I've asked Amanda to sing a song of invitation today. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. We're going to pray a word of prayer, and then these altars are open to you. The enemy does not want us to hear this message. The enemy wants us to think that we're never going to get any better. The enemy wants us to think we can never do better than just being wrong and rebellious all the time. That's a lie out of hell. Because God said Jesus suffered to make the people holy. God said, who's going to ascend into my heaven? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. We can get it right with his help right here, right now. We can make right choices. And all God is asking of you is to do what you can with what you have and what you know, and he will be the judge who judges fairly and accordingly. But he wants us to stop making excuses for bad behavior. Because he can help us to be better. If you're here this morning and you've never confessed your sins, you've never received Jesus Christ, but you want to go to heaven, I invite you to come and just kneel in an altar prayer. We'll be glad to pray with you. Give your heart to Jesus. Know his forgiveness and his love. If you're here this morning and you've confessed your sins and Jesus is your Savior, but you realize you've not really totally surrendered, you've got clean hands, but you're not sure about this pure heart thing, but you want a pure heart, I ask you to come this morning and simply give God the opportunity to cleanse your heart and to purify your soul. If you're here this morning, you know you're saved and you're sanctified, but you still, there's things sometimes that you struggle with. Will you just come and say, Lord, I want to live a straight life? Will we just be honest enough to say, God, this is where we're at. I want all of you there is. I want you to have all of me there is. And walk out of here fully in love with Jesus this morning. Let's pray together. I'm going to have Amanda to sing. These altars are open to you. Feel free to come if you need to respond, even as we pray this morning. Father, we love you. We praise you and we thank you. We're glad that you died to make us holy. And Lord, we don't want to live in less than you want us to have. Lord, we want to walk in all the light. We want to have clean hands, pure hearts. We want to ascend the holy hill. We want to be in the throne room of God with you for eternity. Have your will and your way in our life today, we pray. Let us respond to you as your Spirit draws us. In Jesus' name, Amanda, sing for us. One has come already. The ice is broken. Don't walk away with just part of what God wants for you. Come in the fullness.
Teach us of your ways, oh God, oh God. For we have turned away from you.
Are you holding out on God? Do you have a secret place? Give everything to God. Let him cleanse your heart. Are you walking in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit?
We will run to you. We will run to you. Turning from our sin, we return to you. Father, heal your world. Make all things new. Make all things
new. Don't let the devil talk you into hanging on to the back of a pew. If there's nothing that's not right between you and God, I encourage you to run to these altars this morning. Run to God. He has open arms of love. He wants you to have all of him there is to have. Don't walk away with questions. Know for sure that it's well with your soul.
Turning from our sin.
just remind you that you can always run to God. You don't have to be in a church. God can meet you wherever you are. The only thing I would encourage you is don't let the devil talk you out of running toward him. The devil would like for you just to hang on and stay away. You need to be running away from the devil and toward God. Indeed, he will help you. May God help us to live victoriously in the power of his Holy Spirit every day of our lives. Brother Truman Mills, if you would, pray a closing prayer for us, please, this morning.